You're listening to Yale Radio WYBC. This is Brainerd Carey with the lives of the artists, architects, curators, and more.
Today on our show, I'm talking with Roxmay Chen. Roxmay, thanks so much for talking with me today.
Thank you for having me.
Roxmay, I know you're talking to me from Phnom Penh in Cambodia. Tell me, what's happening there now in terms of the pandemic? We're talking on July 30th in 2020, so here we're still in the peak of it, or we may not even have reached the peak of it yet. What's happening there?
You know, Cambodia is a bit lucky comparing to our neighboring countries and the rest of the world. We don't have so many infections. I think things are still under control in terms of infections. In the last few months, businesses have been shut down. But as of July 15, I think the government allow businesses to reopen again. And I think now things are slowly back to, I don't want to say normal, but maybe I think the trendy word this day is new normal.
Right. It is the new normal. So, and what are you working on at the moment? I know you've been, you're curating, you've done a number of things, and so I imagine all that's changed a bit, but what are your current projects?
You know, I've been doing some writings, but my personal projects, as I begin to do some novel as well, but that's just an exploration of what it is. But I think the main project that I've been doing this day is to get my gallery open. I've been working with a friend of mine, Dr. Irina Chakrabarty, who is an art lover, and she runs this hotel business in Phnom Penh, and we got to, I mean, she supports us, the project, and she allows me to use the ground floor of her hotel to transform it into a gallery. But because of the pandemic, we lose some pledges from the local business people, because some people have pledged some financial support to have the gallery renovated so that we can open it functionally. Unfortunately, that has been gone. So now I'm working on securing some more fundings to have it happen.
And tell me a little bit about the shows that would have happened there. You know, you've curated before. What would be in the show? Is it local artists? Is there a theme to it?
I think I wanted the gallery to focus on first contemporary and modern Cambodian artists. But actually, in the longer run, I hope this gallery will also expand its interest into East Asian art. Therefore, I hope that the gallery will be a gateway, if you will, to contemporary art of East Asia for the Cambodian audience. I don't censor artist's voice, so I welcome all sort of works, and I hope to explore some interesting subjects in the future.
And in terms of who you curate, or the subjects, maybe we can talk about the last show you curated. What are you looking for? That was a kind of a general picture of what you're working on, but what are you looking for in terms of artists' work, or what have you curated in terms of artists? I want to get a sense of what the conversation is there that you're looking at. What are artists making that you're curating?
I think I'm interested in this. In interdisciplinary art, and by interdisciplinary I mean I'm not only looking at visual art alone, but I hope to expand the gallery setting into a different terrain, if you will, by including some other forms of art. So I wish to see some collaboration between different fields and different medium and discipline So I hope maybe in the future, different kind of conversation are emerging from artists who have different practices. So maybe a collaboration between a filmmaker and visual artist, or maybe performing artists and a visual artist. So I'm looking for. I don't like to use the word experiment because I think it's quite trendy in the contemporary art world. But it's hard to avoid that language as well. So in a sense, yes, I'm looking at this kind of experimentation between medium, cross medium, if you will, if that makes sense.
That does make sense, and I know this was in the past, but you were also a founder of a collective. Is that true? A cultural and artistic collective based in Parambang?
Yes, I did.
Can you tell me a little bit about that collective? It sounded very interesting to me.
I think we were one of the few art collectives in the country. You know, the word collective is not many here in the country. We were young back then. We thought we want to create a platform to support each other, and also a platform where we can talk and share ideas. And back then, we was working on a theory of what art means and what art is in the Cambodian perspective, because the word art in Khmer Silapat refers to several types of art that does not necessarily be visual art. And because of that, we join together, we invite different artists who are working across medium, circus, musician, sculptor, painter. So we invite because we all went to the same school, and the school called Pha Phun Lisa back in Battambang, and most of us graduated from this school, and that's how we met and know each other. And because the school also a multicultural multicultural center, and that's the reason why we have different people from different fields. And this was my introduction actually to curatorship or curatorial practice, if you will, because I actually did not know the word curation back then, and I was working in the communication. I work in the communication department of the school when I graduated from the school. Then I helped an organizer of a festival called Tinitinu. It was a Tinitinu Circus International Festival. And I was not satisfied actually with the word organizing, because I think the Khmer word organizing or English word organizing is not enough. And I thought the person who ran the festival did more than that. And it's only was then that I was introduced to the terrain, to the field of curation, and actually through both the festival and also through a collective in which I co-founded.
And so where did that bring you to? I mean, reflecting on that, I know this was a while ago. That was kind of I don't want to say statement, but in a way it was. It was your introduction of how you were going to interact with the art world. How do you see that now? It sounds like that was the basis for so much of what you've done afterwards, or was it?
I still miss that, actually. I still miss the chatters and the voices of my friends who, unfortunately, most of them does not practice their craft anymore. Or if they do, it's not really as a career. It's just for pleasure. That's one thing. Second thing, I thank them, actually. I learn a lot from them. Their talent, but also their perspectives about the art and the contemporary art world. But also, without the collective, I would never know what curation is. Maybe I might know a letter, but I must say, the collective did really help me on that, and that's that was the reason why I decided to move from Battambang province, where I was born and raised, to come to the capital city to explore what curation is. Yeah.
And now you're here and you're doing that, and you've also been writing. Can you tell me? I would love to talk about your novel. I know that's a little soon, but what other writing have you done, or are you working on something now you want to talk about?
The novel, certainly not now. I think I'm still exploring this. Sometimes as a writer, I don't know. Things just come to mind, and sometimes you just want to capture that moment. And so far, it's very interesting. I hope it's going to be an interesting read in the future. But beside the novels, I've been doing some writings on an artist. His name is Pan Rupit. He's also a friend. We graduated from the same school. But Rupit, in the last few years, has shifted his focus and his style. So actually, I wanted to explore that by and comparing the different style that he's been doing and his history as well, actually, and the subject matter that he's been working on since the start of his career. So these the things that I've been doing now. It's not finished yet. It's still piece in progress, but also I still have a lot of conversation with the artist himself. So this is something that I've been doing.
So tell me more about that. That sounds very interesting. That's also a show, or that'll be more research?
Yes, indeed. When I do a writing that is not novel, I like to include research into it, especially to explore existing literature, but also to talk to the artist, to invite the artist's voice into my writing. So that's kind of my methodology, if you will.
And so, stepping back from all of this, you know, we're in an unusual time, as you say, you know, the cliche is the new normal. What do you think is happening for the arts in Phnom Penh, in Cambodia, in your sphere of research and work? How do you see things moving forward? Is there any hints of what will happen? For example, are artists referencing this current situation or working differently, or no?
Another cliche is that Cambodian has been very resistant, and how you say this in English? We always come back to our food, as history shows us. So I only hope that this is true, and that given the circumstances of today, world politics and economic crisis and Cambodian international diplomacy issue, things like that, I hope we will be better, as we should be. In terms of art and cultural sector, we get hit hardly. We have some galleries are shutting down. We don't know whether they will reopen. Our art scenes depend so much on local, on private initiatives, not locals. I mean private initiatives. And given this current circumstances, we lose a lot of this private fundings as well. We don't have state funding in Cambodia, so if you look from the perspective of governmental support, then we would say that's no problem because we never have such support before. But because this time the pandemic does not hit only the government fundings, but also a lot on the local business and private businesses. So I don't know what's going to happen next, to be honest. But I hope that at least in the next few years, we will have more galleries opening again and something like that.
So that surprises me that there's no government funding, even for public artwork. There's no funds for that.
No, there's no governmental funds for creation of art. Yes, unfortunately, that's our country.
So that's a very unusual situation. I mean, you know, the United States also has little funding, but there is some funding. You know, the government funds, you know, opera, theater, some major institutions and museums, but mm-hmm. private funding is taking up most of that. Without government funding, though, you know, in this country anyway, the market makes up for some of that. There is an art market, you know, that helps support artists. Is there an art market there that supports artists? I mean, I was just talking with somebody in Serbia yesterday, and he was saying mm-hmm. there's no art market there at all. He's a curator, but he was saying, but there is a lot of government funding. So all the artists mm-hmm. tend to be able to work. Curators tend to be able to work. Artwork isn't being sold, but it survives. You know, they're able to keep making shows and mm-hmm. and often very interesting shows. Partly because there also is, he said, there really is no market. People aren't buying work there. Are people buying work there? Is there an art market? Are artists surviving that way?
That is a very interesting question. I can't give you a clear-cut answer of whether or not we have an art market per se, right? But if we were to talk about the volume of buying, whether or not Cambodians are really buying contemporary art, then I would say not a lot and almost non-existent, actually. We have only very tiny amount of people who are buying contemporary art. Therefore, in that perspective, there's no such thing as art market in Cambodia. But once again, as I mentioned earlier, that we have a different definition of what art is in Cambodia. And then if we want to look at this craft and like art that like normal, like a landscape painting and things like that, that's a small market for that. But when it comes to contemporary and modern art, we don't really have that market. And that is a problem for the artists, because the artists who practice the craft, contemporary and modern, they depend very much on international market. And with given the circumstances of the pandemic, some of the artists lost their footing, if you will, and a lot of projects have been cancelled. But the artists still producing their work. That's the great thing. I met several artists, including some of my friends as well. They're still happily doing their work. And I think maybe because the expenses in Cambodia is not that high compared to the States in Singapore or elsewhere in the world, that the cost of living is high. Here, we have a few dollars and we can survive, I think. Maybe that's also the reason why the artist is not really in a difficult moment yet.
Because the cost of living is low in Cambodia, you mean?
I think yes. I think that's also the contributing factor into that. Yeah.
And one more question: what are you reading now? I'm always curious.
Oh, I think I'm a boring person when it comes to reading. I'm exploring two books now by a person. I think maybe you know of him already, named Jacques Derrida. And
sure.
I'm reading, the book called The Truth in Painting and Of Grammatology. But also because I'm interested in the subject of deconstruction and decolonization, I've been rereading the books on by Penny Edwards, Cambodge, The Civilization, The Cultivation of a Nation, and Cultural Something-Something Civilizing Mission in Cambodia, yeah.
Well, thank you for that. And Raxmi, I want to thank you for talking with me today. I appreciate your time and the work you're doing. I wish you luck with the upcoming shows.
Thank you very much.
You're listening to Yale Radio WYBC. This is Brainerd Carey with the lives of the artists, architects, curators, and more.